The happiest place on earth is an inviting word, of course. And where do you find that word? Where do you find the phrase like the happiest place in the world, on earth? Disneyland. That's right. Those inviting words arched over the entrance of the Disneyland. And people go there to take off their troublesome mind as if some sort of heavy coat and getting into the destroyable place. Pleasure and sunshine. Our hearts long for the place like that. And you know, the flower blooms like a clockwork. And there's no such a thing as a bad things. If there's any bad thing, good guys always win. And the children all from the all races singing, "It's a small world after all," in perfect harmony. The idea of Main Street is popcorn and cotton candy, a horse-driven carriage, and the lights, and a perfect firework every night. However, our main street is littered with the trash, windows are boarded up. So it's much different than reality. Unfortunately, nobody can live in the Disneyland. We only visit. Story ends. When the park is closed down, light goes out, music stops, and the magic of the Disneyland is start to melt down like a half-eaten ice cream cone. Disneyland adventure may help us to forget our troublesome mind, but it does not solve the situation. So it's nothing more than Band-Aid. Thankfully, what God offers us is a whole lot better than Magic Kingdom. God's kingdom is a true kingdom, and there is a real solution through Jesus Christ. He meets us while we are in panic, while we are in stress. In the place where the tiger is real, and the roller coaster does not always end safely. With a minor variation, this chapter 22, you will be able to find exact same thing, except, as I said, few variation. You will find in chapter 18 of Book of Psalm. They're identical. Some Bible student commentators said that this is written before David committed sin with Bathsheba, because everything about that is like a good, and there's no major sin appeared. However, in my opinion, this is happened at the end of his old age. God delivered him from all of his enemies, from Goliath, Saul, and his awful passion, that driven passion, and backsliding position, and all the Israel enemies, and of course, Absalom and Sheba, and all the other people. This is a praise. This is a song of triumph from David's heart to God. And there I find the four major themes of this study. Let's take a look at them quickly for those major themes. You might want to jot it down so we can take a look at it later. When the times are tough, the Lord is our only security. When the day is dark, the Lord is our only light. When our walk is weak, the Lord is our only strength. When the future is foggy, the Lord is our only hope. Everything is emphasized with only. There's no other way around. He's the only hope. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, someday we will sing the song of triumph in the presence of God in you on the strip that is gold. We'll cast down the golden crown that we receive from you to praise your name. And throughout eternity, we'll worship you, we'll adore you. But let us not think that we are not going to praise you, we are not going to exalt your name while we are on earth. Let us remember, In the midst of this stress, in the midst of panic, you're still in control. You are our security, you are our stronghold, you are our fortress, you are our rock, and you are our light, you are our hope, you are our strength, and you are our God. Let us remember what we learned tonight, that in the time of difficulty, this verse will bring it to remembrance. Holy Spirit will bring these verses into remembrance that we may draw the strength from you. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 22 of 2 Samuel. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord has delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. The Lord, the God is of my strength, in whom I will trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation." By the way, you might want to jot it, just quick one note there, horn on the line and write there, power. Often you will find the horn represent power throughout the Bible. My stronghold and my refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. I was expecting that we're going to sing this song, but we didn't. We can sing now, yeah. That David piled up the title upon title about Jesus Christ, about God. Because obviously, the things that God is doing for him and doing for us, it cannot be summarized in one title. So he obviously he had to use more than one title. Each title is meaningful to David because each one of them gave him an experience. He is the Savior. He is the stronghold. While he was hiding from King Saul, everlasting, it seems like everlasting, over 10 years period, he was hiding. And he delivered him from the enemy, especially Absalom. So all this title means a lot to him. This is not just names of God, the titles of God that he put on, but this, each one of them means everything. This is not a systematic theology, but to him, this is a real-time experience. Let me put it this way. Faith does not completely depend on knowledge. Faith does not completely depend on knowledge, but the right knowledge of God helps us to know and help us to have the strength in God, have a faith in God. Let me repeat one more time. Faith does not completely depend on knowledge, but the right knowledge of God gives great strength to faith. So the more we get to know about God, the more we can trust Him. Let's go to verse 5. When the waves of the death surround me, and the flood of the ungodliness made me afraid, the sorrow of the Sheol surround me, and the snare of the death confront me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and I cried out to my God. He heard me, my voice from his temple. And my cry entered to his ear. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundation of heaven quaked and was shaken because he was angry. Smoke went up from his nostril and devouring the fire from his mouth. The coal was kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also, and came down with the darkness under his feet. He rode upon the cherub and flew, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. He made the darkness a canopy around him, dark waters and the thick clouds of the sky. From the brightness before him, coals of fire were kindled. The Lord thundered from the heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. He sent out arrows and scattered them, and lightning bolt, and he vanquished them. Then the channels of the sea were seen. The foundation of the world were uncovered. At the rebuke of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostril, he sent from above. He took me, He drew me out of the many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy, from those who hate me. Underline next phrase, please. For they were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my calamity. But the Lord was my support. He also brought me out of the broad place. He underlined next phrase too, please. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The enemy of our soul wants us to believe that we cannot call upon the Lord unless we just have everything in, you know, ducks in a row, all the ducks in a row. We have to have a right attitude. We have to have a right spiritual condition. Otherwise, we cannot call upon the Lord. Is that true? Can we call upon the Lord in any situation? So just because we are in distress, just because we are backslidden, that doesn't mean we cannot call upon the Lord. Do we have to have a flowery prayer to call upon Him? For example, when Peter was walking on the water, we often make fun of Peter, especially Bible students, Bible teachers, preachers, like me. But let's face it, he's the only one who walked on water in human history. As he stepped in water, and he thought it was cool. However, problem is, he looked around and looked at the surrounding, and he started to sink. Did he say, "Oh God, most high God, and you are omniscient, and you are omnipotent capability, you can rescue me"? Did he say that, or he said, "Help"? Just simple word. We don't have to have all the ducks in a row to get a help from God. He will reach out to us. He knew that victory was due to God's hand, not due to His ingenuity or the ability. Without the Lord's support of David, there wouldn't be anything. Some of us wondered if God would answer all of our prayers the way He would answer David. Some of us wondering if maybe David is His pet saint. You know, when we were in school, our teacher had a pet student. I used to hate him because I was not one of them. I was the one who always get yelled at because I didn't care for his class. I wish I studied as much as I do now and when I was in high school. They probably I made an honors class, honors student class. However, I didn't. Our teachers all had a pet student. Maybe you are one of them. I don't like you anyway. Probably she was a pet student. And, you know, I strongly believe that there is no pet saint in God's kingdom. I don't think God would answer David's prayer any different than your prayer or my prayer. Because I'm a pastor, that doesn't mean God said, "Oh, one of my pastors is praying to me. I better listen." He doesn't do that. He listened to you just like He listened to me. He listened to you just like He would listen to Billy Graham. There is only one mediator, that's man God, Jesus Christ. No one else. So when we pray through Jesus Christ, when we pray with Holy Spirit to the Father in heaven, He's all ear to listen to us. Do you know what the difference between David and us? We expect that David was mature enough to expect what God expects. While we are so busy, preoccupied with we are expecting Him to do the things that we want Him to do. See the difference? David was expecting what God expects. No wonder why he was called a man after God's own heart. While he was trying to align himself with God's way, we are trying to stay here and telling God, "Do it my way, do it my way." Even though our lips say, "Your will be done," but we're still staying far away from Him and staying far away from His way. That's why we don't praise Him in the midst of the difficult time. If you read the Psalms that are written by David, yes, he griped, yes, he literally tell God, kick their teeth and break them. You see them in the Psalm. That's my kind of prayer. But, you know, however, he aligned himself back to the way God wants. Instead of staying my side. Because David knows how to stand with God's way. Stay with him. Follow him the way he wants. He can praise God in the midst of distress. He can praise God in the midst of panic. He learned how to hear and recognize God's voice. A lot of times I hear this same question from people. I don't hear from God. How do you know it's God's voice? There's only one way to get to know His voice. The Word. Because He will not speak to us contrary to this Word. Same time He gives us a little bit of leeway. You don't have to ask Him, should I eat the cornflake or should I eat the Captain Crunch this morning? Well, it's up to you. Should I go to this church or should I go to that church? Maybe that you better ask for that. If both churches teach the Word of God, probably it's something to do with your preference. God will bless you. Listen to me, please. Though our enemies deal harshly with us, the Lord will support us no matter what. What keeps His mighty arms always open, always willing to hold us in the midst of difficult time? I should underline one thing. He delivered me because He, what? Delights in me. Why would He be delight? Why would He delight in me? Most of the time, I cause a problem. Don't look at me like you don't cause a problem to God. You do, because He tells me you cause a problem to Him. As if I have a direct line, right? Lying. If you're like me, you cause a problem to God, but He knows. We like to think that we are spiritual, but we are not. A lot of times we don't act like we are spiritual one. However, He delights in us. When we come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we become His child. According to some, we are apple in His eyes. Coming from Korea, then the difference in cultural background, difference in language, difference. And call it a barrier. I cannot figure out why anybody would like to have an apple in their eyes. I guess that's a kind of figure of speech. Candy bar will be just fine in my mouth. I prefer that one. Because He cares for us, He feels our ache. Because He delights in us, He is willing to deliver us from the difficult time. However, there is a but thing. We'll study more in that portion. Let's go to verse 21. The Lord rewards me according to, underline, my righteousness, according to, underline next one again, please, the cleanness of my hands. He has recompensed me, for I have kept the way of the Lord and have not wickedly departed from my God. For all His judgment were before me, and as for His departure, I did not depart from them. I also was also blameless before Him. That's another portion to underline. And kept myself from my iniquity. Therefore, the Lord has recompensed me according to my righteousness, according to my cleanness in his eyes. Is David claiming that he's sinless? He's a perfect guy? He's not. He's not saying that he's sinless. He speaks of his righteousness through God's forgiveness, mercy, and righteousness. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verse 21. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. We can make the same claim. I just said in chapter 1, I will make you whiter than snow. How can it be? I'm a sinner. You are a sinner. You are wicked. I'm wicked. And our righteousness is no better than a filthy rag. How can we claim that our righteousness? How can we claim that our hands clean? Through righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verse 26 of 2 Samuel again, chapter 22. With the merciful, you will show yourself merciful. With a blameless man, you will show yourself blameless. With the pure, you will show yourself pure. And with the devious, you will show yourself shrewd. On the line, next one, please. You will save the humble people, but your eyes are on the haughty, that you might bring them down. For you are my lamp. Underline that, please. You are my lamp. O Lord, the Lord shall enlighten my darkness. For by you I can run against the troop. By my God I can leap over the wall. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. You might underline that one too, please. He's a shield to all who trust in him. For who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It just dawned to me while reading this portion. He is a shield to all who trust in him. He, God. Last Sunday we read from the book of Revelation, the Word of God is the Jesus Christ, right? And he is our shield. The Word of God is the shield. If you remember this, Ephesians chapter 6, full armor of God, the Word of God is the what? Sword of the Spirit. However, the Word of God can be also turned into the shield. How can we have a faith without the Word of God? Faith comes from the hearing. Hearing comes from what? The Word. So we can pretty much conclude that our shield is the Word of God. Am I making sense to you? Then with that thought, remember what I said at the beginning? By knowing God more and more, we get to have more trust in God. Remember that I said? How can we know our God more and more? Through the Word. So the Word is the shield. The Word is the faith. Bring the faith into our lives. Carrying a lamp in the forest night, how much can you see? A little lamp. Kerosene lamp. I'm not talking about one of those surefire beam that goes about 400 yards, like a spoon would carry that thing around. I'm not talking about that thing that blinds people's eyes. I'm talking about a little kerosene lamp. Kerosene lamp does not show a whole lot more than a few steps, a few yards. It gives you where to go. Directions, it does not give you a whole lot. Psalm 119 says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a lamp unto my path. That's exactly the same thing here. God's word, God himself, is a lamp unto our path and our feet. He gives us a word to step, next step, but he does not give us whole picture. Why? Because he wants us to depend on him. If we get, let me ask you this. If we have whole picture in our sight, if we have all the knowledge like God about our future, do you think you would change your future? Probably I will. Maybe I'll, if I know what's going to happen next couple of days, maybe I'll put some money, borrow some money, put it in the stock market, whichever the stock is going to go fly high. Make some extra bucks for myself. That would be a typical attitude of ours. Don't look at me like you don't do, we didn't think about that kind. You do. So, that's the reason why God does not give us a complete knowledge. He wants us to depend on him. He will give us just enough light to step, to make a sure footing, to give a sure footing and give us enough light to scale over the life obstacle and the problem with the confidence and agility. Listen carefully, please. There's something in the true humility that prompts grace and mercy from God. There's something in the pride and haughtiness that prompts his resistance and displeasure. Humility is not necessarily the low opinion of ourselves, but humility is a true evaluation of ourselves and our self-forgetfulness. Humility is another's other-centered, not self-centered. In my opinion, humility is the most precious thing any Christian man and woman can produce. Let's continue in verse 33. God is my strength and power, and he makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like a feet of deer, set me on his high places. He teaches my hand to make war, so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip. I have pursued my enemy and destroyed them. Neither did I turn back again until they were destroyed. And I have destroyed them and wounded them so that they could not rise. They have fallen under my feet, for you have armed me with the strength for battle. You have subdued under me those who rose against me. You have also given me the necks of my enemies so that I destroyed those who hated me. There was none to save, even to the Lord. But he did not answer them. Then I beat them as fine as dust of the earth. I trod them like a dirt in the street, and I spread them out. You have also delivered me from the striving of my people. You have kept me as the head of the nation. A people I have not known shall serve me, and the foreigners submit to me. As soon as they hear, they obey me. The foreigners fade away, they come frightened from their hideouts. The Lord lives, blessed be my rock. Let God be exalted, the rock of my salvation. David by no means is strong himself, and in fact he is ruled by his own passion. Remember, the day the other kings go into the battle, what did he do? He stayed behind. He couldn't control his own passion Even though he had many wives and concubines, he went after another man's wife. When he thought his character, godly character, was a solid granite, it was nothing more than pebble. It was nothing more than sand. Fractured, cracked, and chipped, and flawed. However, he is depending on God's strength. And the Word of God said, when we are weakest, that we are the strongest. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. David understood. God used David's battleground as his proving ground. I don't know where this study finds you. If you're like me, you'll go through difficult time. You can reject that difficult time as an enemy, or you can accept that as a proving ground. Like 1 Peter said in chapter 5, or James chapter 1 says, is it easy to accept the difficult time and testing time as my proving ground? You kidding? No, I don't like it. But I know it's good for me. By the time I go through that thing, I'm going to come out ahead. Refined by fire. Let's continue in verse 48. It is God who avenged me, subdued the people under me. He delivered me from my enemies. You also lift me up above those who rise against me. You have delivered me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. Among the Gentiles, sing praise to your name. He is the tower of salvation to his king. And showed mercy to his anointed, to David and his descendant forevermore. Are you unsure for tomorrow? Are you unsure for future? And if you have one of those famous two words, what if? Remember what I always say, but God. While your heart and while the Satan's whispering to your heart, what if? Just remind the Satan, but God. Let's make an application. This is very important. God has the strength to deliver us from any problem. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. Why? I have no idea. He's God, I'm not. So I cannot tell you. However, he doesn't promise to take away every pain, every problem in this life. But he is telling us, he does not owe us any explanation, but we owe him obedience. Second application, faith does not completely depend on knowledge, but the right knowledge of God gives a great strength to faith. Third application, humility is not necessarily low opinion of self, but it's a combination of accurate opinion of self and a simple self-forgetfulness. Humility is others-centered, but not self-centered. If you can achieve humility without anybody knowing, you made the pinnacle. Let me know how you got there. Because we all need to achieve that goal. Let's stand up and pray.